de savoir à qui faire confiance. Vous pouvez faire confiance aux voix que vous entendez sur cette station de radio et sur d'autres radiodiffuseurs communautaires. Nous avons besoin de vous pour écrire à votre député local pour lui expliquer pourquoi la radio locale est importante pour vous. Rendez-vous sur monirc.ca et découvrez comment vous pouvez contribuer à protéger l'avenir de la radio communautaire.
Hi, my name is Lowell, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser Campus Radio.
Would you give me a beat?
CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. CJSF 90.1 FM, diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca.
Today on Wings, a spirituality of solstice.
Celebrate the birth of the sun, light the way, O Lucina, dance around on Sabbath night. Blessed be the great mother.
Celebrate the birth of the sun, light the way, O Lucina.
This Lucina chant is sung by Ruth Rhiannon Barrett, an Elder Dianic priestess, on her album The Year is a Dancing Woman. Lucina is one of many names used for the goddess Diana. The song refers to an event that we in the Northern Hemisphere will soon experience again, the winter solstice. I'm Frieda Worden. From my audio studio in Canada, I see the sunset move daily farther south, and the hours of light decline sharply each day. Around December 21st, the process is going to pause. That's the solstice. Then just as gradually reverse. Various religions hold festivals of light in winter, but I wanted to hear from one that retains a connection to solstice. My friend Letitia Layson and her friend Holin Kennan were both ordained by Ruth Barrett as priestesses in Dianic Wicca, a registered religion in the United States. One woman is now in Wisconsin and one in Texas. We chatted on Zoom.
This happens to be the 50th anniversary of the Dianic tradition, which began on winter solstice in 1971. My name is Letitia Layson. I have been ordained in three goddess traditions. The one that I'm going to be representing today is the Dianic tradition. I was ordained as a Dianic high priestess in the Z Budapest line.
I'm Holin Kennan. I'm also called Holin Black Moon. Like Letitia, I am also a Dianic high priestess ordained in the Z Budapest lineage. And Letitia and I met each other in Los Angeles many, many, many years ago, and both practiced together for many, many, many years.
Wow. So you both say that you're in the Z Budapest tradition. Who is Z Budapest?
In 1971, Z Budapest, who was an immigrant from Hungary and an ardent feminist, according to Z, she realized that feminism needed a spiritual component to it. And Z began to bring elements of Wicca, the craft, and her mother's folk tradition together and offered that to the women of the Los Angeles area. And that's how the Dianic tradition started back in 1971.
And it become an international phenomena. Once she published her book, she was brought all over the world. And this year, Z's book will be coming out again in print.
So what's the meaning of Dianic?
The goddess Diana originated in Italy, and she is also known in the Greek traditions as Artemis. Diana in Italy is the goddess of the moon, and her daughter, Aradia, is considered to be the first avatar who actually came into physical form to teach the mysteries of her mother, the goddess Diana, the mysteries of the moon, to the women. So Holland and I actually met at Circle of Aradia in Los Angeles in the early 90s.
Now, I have a couple of questions about that. First, how do you spell Aradia?
A-R-A-D-I-A.
And what was the meaning of avatar at that time? Because now it's something on the internet.
Yes, avatar. She uses that as a reference to spirit into matter. So it really is a goddess who is embodied in physical form.
So in this Dianic form of Wicca, is there an orthodoxy?
No, actually, it's pretty unorthodox. It ranges very widely. Z's original Holy Book of Women's Mysteries sourced its form from both Italian witchcraft and the traditions of Rome and those festivals, and then also brought in a couple of other existing witch traditions like Gardnerian and Alexandrian. But having said that, from Z's original Holy Book of Women's Mysteries, women have added their own skills and their own perspectives to make it rounder and sometimes very particular to a particular locale where the tradition is being practiced. There is a similarity of practice while it's not formalized that you must do the following things in the following way.
But Z's lineage specifically emerges from Z's work, and she does the festivals from Greece, Thesmorphia and
Stenia. I like Stenia. Stenia is the bitching festival, which I think is awesome because it's women sitting around and just having their say and venting, which is really something we don't get to do. And then the Thesmophoria is it's the cycle with Demeter and Persephone. Demeter being the mother of the harvest, and then Persephone being her daughter who descends and emerges from the underworld.
So what do you think is the fundamental, the earthly basis of all these different practices?
Well, I would say it is the earth itself and the way the earth relates to the cosmos. Pagan traditions and Wiccan traditions in general are earth-based, meaning that we cycle with the seasons. And the seasons are related to the way in which the sun and the moon actually travel around the earth.
So at winter solstice, what we're dealing with, if you're in a small village or a small community, is you've done the last of your harvest by Halloween, by a Samhain, and you've got a few things left over, maybe some apples and a few other things, and now it's about to go into the dead of winter. It's the shortest night, but it's going to get much colder. And so it's a moment to pause and reflect, and an awareness and a connection to the fact that the light will eventually return. So we have faith in that happening. And what we do at winter solstice is decorate and sing and gather to celebrate the returning light within the moment of the darkest night.
One of the things in the Dianic tradition that is very different than other Wiccan traditions is that we honor the mysteries of the female, focused on the goddess and maternal values or mother values. The Dianic tradition looks at the world through a lens of creation in this birthing metaphor that reflects itself on the earth in the agricultural cycles. And winter solstice is the season in which the sacred child is honored.
Ruth Barrett, who was the high priestess who ordained Letitia and me, talks about winter solstice as the quickening. So it's not the actual birth, which is what happens in a lot of other spiritual traditions, including Christianity. It's the awareness of the new life that will be born, that awareness that there is a shift, but it is not the birth itself, not yet.
This is a little bit
side question, but I thought I'd ask it before I forget, and that is, how is this practiced in the Southern Hemisphere?
Well, we'd have to ask them, because the Earth actually travels around 365 days approximately to go around the sun itself, but it also tilts. It tilts away from the sun when it's winter, and when it's summer, we tilt towards the sun. So here we are in the north, we have the shortest day, and that's why the Southern Hemisphere has the longest day. They are experiencing summer solstice.
So they really shouldn't be celebrating Christmas now either. They should be celebrating it in June.
Well, Christmas is a Christian holiday that's based on a solar calendar or the Gregorian calendar. So December 25th, they would celebrate the birth of Christ. But if you're celebrating Father Winter, you would celebrate that in the cold season for the Southern Hemisphere.
Now I want to hear about your own experiences with this religion. Is it fair to call it a religion?
It isn't necessarily true that all Dianics identify their practice in the old traditions as a religion. It predates religion. So some of these women who practice in circles or covens, and also as solitaires, might identify their Dianic practice as a spirituality, not necessarily a religion. We do, however, when you were asking us, we practice our faith as a religion, for sure. We have holy days that we honor together. We have rites of passage, or we have sacraments that we would identify as things that we do. And with the holy days, we have what would be considered liturgy and even a creation story.
Ooh, let's hear a little creation story.
Well, you're in the right season for that. Holland, would you like to talk about that?
Sure. This is the quickening, and then the goddess is born, usually around February 1st, and then she becomes a girl child. This is a reflection of a woman's life cycle. So she grows up, and in May, she experiences her menses, her menstrual period for the first time. And then as the year rolls around in June at the summer solstice, she becomes a mother, or at least a creatrix, not necessarily biologically a mother. Although if we're following a life cycle, a body cycle, then she at least has the potential to become a mother. And then as the seasons go on further, she becomes, some people will call it a queen, which I think is kind of a loaded word, but she becomes a woman who is present in her own right. Her children, if she has any, may have gone, and she is experiencing herself to the fullest. And then at autumn equinox in September, she becomes an elder. At Hallows, she becomes what is called a crone, a much older elder, over 60, what is it, Letitia, 59, 60, whatever, 62. And then the mystery part is right now, begins right now at the winter solstice, where she is beginning the cycle of dying and of being born, or potentially being born at the same time. So this is one of the mystery hinges, that moment between the light being gone completely and then the light coming back. This is a mystery tradition, and that's one of them. The goddess does not die and disappear. She reappears every year.
On Wings, Dianic High Priestesses Letitia Layson and Holland Kennan are telling about their religion and its connection to winter solstice, which happens in the Northern Hemisphere around December 21st.
So what attracted each of you to this religion?
Holland started before I did, so I would like Holland to begin.
I've been a witch since I was 15. It found me. I didn't find it. But that was back in the 70s when you didn't have a lot of access to information. And so I practiced solitary for many, many years. And then I took a class with Ruth Barrett called Our Sacred Bloods. And it was about these exact mysteries that I've just mentioned of this woman's life cycle. And it was life-shaking. And so I began to do rituals with Circle of Aradhya, and then also took training outside of Circle of Aradhya with what's called a family traditionalist. Her background was in English and German Wicca. And then Letitia found me again at an event called Long Beach Woman Spirit and said, we need you back in Circle, or you should come to Circle of Aradhya. And so I did. And so that's how I got involved.
You said it found you. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. I had always been drawn to folk traditions and what people would call magic. So it's connecting with nature of plants, animals, the seasons, the sky, and you connect with that, and then you you can transform your world, and you can transform it internally, and you can transform it externally. And so I lived on a mountain, and so those things were accessible to me all the time. And I didn't think of it as being something unusual until I got into my 20s, and then I realized not everybody did that.
I actually thought I was going to a drumming and dance circle, and a women's empowerment drumming and dance circle. And it ended up being the very first goddess dedicated dance circle that the facilitator had. And as it turned out, many of the women had been trained in the Dianic tradition. So it was ritualistic. The teachings were based on images Maria Gambutas found embodying the original snake bird goddess, the original primordial expression going back 30,000 years. And the women in that circle were Dianics, trained at Circle of Aradhya. And so I sort of happened into it. I was interested in drumming and dance and ritual, and that's how it started. So I think the first event that I went to was in a fall equinox. Then I took my first class in October and then facilitated my first public ritual at winter solstice. So it was within the first 3 months that I began to be in service to the community. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I started similarly, and I think it was by the third ritual that we were doing ritual drumming.
Well, Letitia, you mentioned that you were trained in a couple of other traditions. How did that happen?
Well, each of these things had a very personal expansion. The woman who facilitated the dance circle had her own tradition, and it was goddess-based and ritual-based, but the core of it wasn't Wiccan. She identified the work specifically as shamanic, kind of shamanic dance, and it was a healing tradition. And then I went to Circle of Aradhya, and the Circle of Aradhya was both individual and group oriented. And then the Fellowship of Isis was international and eclectic. So the Fellowship of Isis is another goddess tradition. Isis is the Greco-Roman name for the Egyptian goddess Auset, or Ast, A-S-T. So she's an African, North African, that's Egypt, is North African goddess. And they don't celebrate the equinoxes and the solstices. In Egypt, they would celebrate the inundation of the Nile. And in fact, the Isian mysteries are focalized around Osiris, Isis, Osiris, Nephthys, and Set were the original beings who were embodied. They were the first fully formed human gods that were depicted. And Osiris is the original dying king. He's the year king. He's constantly dying, and his wife and sister Isis continues to bring him back to life. So in that tradition, there's a goddess and god.
Huh.
Our particular Iseum, this group that we had, was unique because it was women only. Most of the women had been trained by other women. Many of them had been trained in the Dianic tradition. And we would have public rituals on the beach that would be between 80 and 125 people on the beach. And Circle of Aradia would have, when Holland and I were attending at that time with Ruth, between 80 and 180 women, our largest being 250 women when we'd have large festivals.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention that in the Dianic tradition, it's not confined to the goddess Diana. There is a recognition of goddesses actually throughout the world. So there's a recognition and an honoring of female divinity as the goddess expresses herself everywhere. So it's not just Diana that we are connected with. It can be Isis. It can be Demeter or Persephone or Frau Holda or Freya or Amaterasu in Japan. All of them are honored.
In the very beginning of Z's book, there is a dedication to She of 10,000 Names. So She of 10,000 Names is who we speak about, and each of the faces of the goddess is a facet, the way in which the people have seen a reflection of divinity that is goddess on their land. So that's the way that we recognize that she has been here always and is reflected on all the lands.
The last thing I think that I want to ask is about how solstice is celebrated and how you would celebrate it in a city, how you would celebrate it on the land.
Lots of light, lots of candles. When we look at our current Christmas celebrations, those shiny balls are mirrors to attract the sun. Our decorations of fruit and sun ornaments, all of those things, oranges as a symbol of the sun. So all of those things that remind us of light, that bring back light as a connection to the sun that will emerge, is part of what would be going on the land. They also do something called wassailing the apple trees, where they take a good drink of, it's got ale and it's got spices and so on, and you go out and you sprinkle it around the apple trees, asking them to bear fruit for the next years. And then you drink a bunch yourself. So that's part of what we do on the land.
I'll speak about the way in a city, because Circle of Aradia was in Los Angeles. And part of our commitment to the women who were urban was to educate them about the dark and that we were in the dark season. So part of what we do is extinguish all the light so that women can feel comfortable in the dark. So the room is completely pitch black at the height of our ritual, so that women can understand that we don't need to be afraid of the dark, that it's in the darkness of the womb of the goddess, in the darkness of the earth, that life begins. And the quickening happens inside the darkness. So we are comfortable in that place of the dark. And then the light gradually comes. And it isn't because there's light or that we have some kind of false hope. We are actually celebrating the promise of the light coming. And we dance to awaken the earth from its winter sleep and to help agitate the earth to bring the warmth back. That's part of what we do. So our rituals involve dancing and storytelling. And it's also the time in our particular community, because of the way that our mysteries are overlaid on the seasons, it is the time that new children who were born in the last solar cycle are blessed and introduced to the community. So we honor the spirit child, and the mothers and children are processed around and recognized and honored.
Anything else?
People can get outside and just experience a bit of dark, assuming that they're in the Northern Hemisphere, a bit of dark, a bit of cold, find, you know, gaze on an evergreen tree. That was one of the symbols of the season because it did not die. just experience that dark point and know that we're connected to the sun, to the land, to the emergence of life again. We're not separate from it. That would be a good practice to do. Simple. Go inside maybe and light a candle in remembrance of that.
This is also the season where we're together in community, because in the Northern Hemisphere, it's cold. So we come together and we feast and we celebrate and we say our formal gratitudes for the last solar cycle, honoring all of the joys and sorrows. But we end with the celebration of gratitude and bring that into the light. Our tradition really is for the health of women and our reflection on the earth. And that's one of the reasons why I was very attracted to this tradition. Until the power of balance has shifted, you know, generally speaking, my work is focused with women, as you can see.
So Labha Fauna is analogous in a really wonderful way to Santa Claus. And she is a grandmother, and one of her symbols is a chicken, a hen. And she has a bag filled with goodies. And so she is Italian and is a gift giver. And that's part of the tradition at this season, is to give gifts sometimes. You know, oranges are very popular here in Wisconsin. I didn't appreciate them until I moved here. Coming from Southern California, they were just there. But she brings all kinds of lovely things to the children, just as Santa Claus does. So we even have female gift givers. Another interesting goddess of the season that I'm particularly connected to is Mother Berchta, also, or called Frau Holda, and I spin wool. And during the 12 days of Christmas, which was probably, you know, before Christmas, it was slightly different, you may not spin. No wheels can turn. So I must stop my spinning of wool for 12 days, which is very difficult, and my wheel stays silent and still until that period passes where I can spin again. And this allows Frau Holda and Mother Berchta to do their work of bringing in the season. And they, you know, and so I have to pause in the dark. I can do nothing that are my accustomed tasks because it's winter solstice. I must be still.
Stopping. That's a good tradition.
Yes. Yes.
The gardens are quiet. You know, we put our garlic in. We've put everything to bed that we can. We've harvested everything we can. It's down in storage. And now is the point of stillness when you have your family and your food gathered together and you wait. And you wait. And that's okay. The waiting is fine because it gives you strength to go into the new year. When the plants start coming up, it's going to get very, very busy. So this is a time to recharge and renew because you're still, you are at rest. There is little work to be done out on the land. So you can attend to other smaller things that are important.
Wings thanks our guests, Dianic High Priestesses Letitia Layson and Holan Kennan. Also thanks to maternalgifteconomymovement.org and their Zoom technician, Diane Wiedenkopf, and your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning, and editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The music was Lucina Chant, sung by Ruth Rhiannon Barrett and composed by Kay Gardner, recorded on The Year is a Dancing Woman, Part 1.
Celebrate the birth of the sun. Light the way, O Lucina. Dance around on Sabbath night. Blessed be the great mother.
Celebrate the birth of the sun. Light the way, O Lucina. Dance around on Sabbath night. Blessed be the great mother.
I'm Frieda Worden. Thanks for listening. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
CJSF 90.1 FM wishes you a bright winter solstice.
You are listening.